Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Andy, that is better than the sigh because it's a little bit more hopeful, a little bit more joyous. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I've moved on since there, right?
Oh,
do you
Christ.
Feel me? You know what I mean?
Not really.
So I was wondering this week about the sounds of the travelling salesman, right? You know, loading his samples into the boot, maybe wallpaper paste,
right.
Marzipan and towels or whatever.
Right.
So think about, let's try a few of those, right? First up, give me the clatter of his diesel engine on startup as he leaves his cul-de-sac bound for Peterborough and his Astra estate.
No, I won't. No.
All right. The hum of the hand dryer. Hold on, I hear it through. The hum of the hand dryer at the services when he stops for the ginsters.
Is it a good hand dryer or is it a substandard hand dryer? Because there's nought worse than a substandard hand dryer.
It's substandard because it's
in the services,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to do that noise? Well, that was a little bit like a distant ship leaving port, wasn't it? Which I like. Which I like to our new life on a desert island or something.
Well, how about...
What's that, someone dying
it's
in the
death rattle, isn't it?
The death rattle. The slam of his car door, right, as he's turned away from yet another light industrial unit on the outskirts of Braintree.
Bang. Bang.
Yeah, it's a bit ominous, actually, as well. I'll tell you what, I'll stick with your clown one, do it again. Thank you. All right, don't have to drag
Welcome
on
to Athletic Cummins. I see you've got your purple dungarees on today, Bob.
Yep, because it's playtime.
Have you just come from a meeting at CBeebies or something?
Ha-ha.
What's that about?
No, I haven't. It's the look.
And no else, no underneath.
Yeah,
you look like you've just been removed from the set of a Dexys Midnight Runners video.
Why are you saying this? I've made
it. What you look like?
Well, you're wearing a red T-shirt.
Yeah.
That says "I am trapped" on it.
So fucking am. That's how I feel. And you've got your digital watch on with the calculator in it as
well.
Yeah,
it proves useful from
time
to time.
Was that a GQ or something, was it, telling you to wear that this month?
No, Top Gear.
Top Gear magazine.
Top Gear magazine, I bought that from. But listen up, Andy, it is really sweaty in this studio, which
Isn't
is
not it?
6 foot by 8 foot.
Yeah.
Are you going to start getting a sweat on and stinking and that?
I probably will do by the time we finish, yeah.
Have you got any Belinda wipes or something?
I haven't. Hey, if I need to go to the toilet during this, what's the procedure? Do I put my hand up?
Yeah, put your hand up.
Just put my hand up. Can I interrupt you during a sentence if I really need to go?
Put
like,
both hands up. That would be good.
Both hands up.
No, one hand up if you need a wee-wee, two hands if you need a Todd.
Right.
All right.
Did you see that fella in Sunderland that was in the news this week?
The Todder.
The Sunderland train station.
Yeah.
Todder.
Did he do just one Todd?
No, he did three separate ones on three separate occasions.
What, on this?
Twice on the platform and once on the lift.
But in the same time, you know, like, on the same journey?
No, different dates.
Oh, right, because I was going to say three Todds on the choice.
All early morning.
Yeah.
But, and that photograph of him on CCTV where he looks exactly like someone who's just realised there's a CCTV camera looking at him after he's Todded in a lift.
Yeah,
but they've arrested him.
Have they?
Do you know what his name is?
No.
Todd.
No, it's not.
The Todd Machine.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not, Andy. I'll tell you what, though. A morning Todd, if you did him in the morning, is always a looser Todd, I find, than an evening.
Depends what you've
evening
had
toffee.
Before, doesn't it?
No, I just think they're looser
Depends
in the morning.
Depends on your dietary habits.
Hey, talking about, you know, we talk about travelling salesmen.
Yeah.
That's what my dad did for a living. For
is it?
Fox's Biscuits.
Right.
I'm just talking
That's
here.
An easy sell, though, isn't it? Fox's Biscuits.
Well, at the time it wasn't. You know, this is before the Golden Crunch and the Cream Crunch in them, you know, which I think that's when Fox's Biscuits really took off.
They were in their pomp then, weren't they?
You know, like they do the Rocky, the Crunch Cream, the Echo, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They also owned Golden Munda Crisps, I think.
Did they?
He always had a lot of crisps in his estate car.
Right. That might have been something else, though.
He might have been
sideline.
Moonlighting, yeah. Do you have a favourite Fox biscuit?
Do they do shortbread biscuits?
They do a short. Well, do you know Fox invented the sports biscuit? And here up, Andy, I suspect this is going to appeal to you.
Yeah.
The party ring.
Yeah.
Isn't that a nice biscuit?
I love a party ring.
Yeah, pink one.
One on each finger.
Beautiful biscuit. Well, that's Fox's, so...
That's that taken care of. Have you got a name for us?
Yeah, Mickey Driscoll's your first choice.
Right, what's his
backstory? Country and Western fan, yeah?
Yeah.
42, still lives with his mum. He only speaks to on Fridays when they do the big shop together, yeah?
It's resonated with me so far, yeah.
26 stone.
Right, yeah.
He's on the disability for his bad back.
Yeah.
Yeah? And he's written the word trapped in biro on his tracksuit bottoms. Do you like the sound of him?
I'm liking him.
Paul Silverton. Mm. Yeah? Not his real name.
Sounds like a go-getter.
His real name's Johnny Mango, right? He's got bleached blonde side parting, bit of a tan, powder blue V-neck, white skinny jeans and Humbert boots, right?
Yeah.
He gets a right narc on when he's pissed, yeah? And he flogs the odd Ritalin pill here and there that he nicked off the stepkids. Do you like it sounding? You know, a little
sounds
angry.
Sounds like a bastard.
All right, you don't want him then. Edam.
I didn't say I want him.
All right.
I just said he sounds like a bastard.
Edam Keith. He's a small, spherical head with a red face and yellow teeth. He's a biter, yeah?
Yeah.
Usually found in the bookies by the Red Lion or on Lafayette Street in Paris. He's famous for tucking his slacks in his Humbert boots. And he has one of those machines that shag you in his shed. So, is it Edam Keith, little bastard Paul Silverton, or Mickey Driscoll, country in Western?
I'm going to have to be Edam Keith, I'm afraid.
Edam Keith?
I'm okay. Sorry to everyone who's listening to this, but yeah, I'm going to be Edam Keith.
All right.
You know what I heard?
What did you hear?
On the tube on the way here in London.
Is this observation comedy?
It's not. It's someone actually, this fella actually said this sentence and I've never heard it before. I've seen hundreds of tree surgeons. How do you follow that up? How does anyone get to see hundreds of tree... He was about 25.
Yeah.
How's he seen hundreds of tree surgeons?
That is a good question.
I was trying to explain that his mate is one of the best tree surgeons in the business.
Yeah.
As in, I've seen hundreds of tree surgeons, but Edam Keith is up there with the best. But the trouble with his mate was he hasn't got any people skills.
All right, so he just listens.
So he'll do a great job on your tree, but he'll probably call you a dick.
I was a tree surgeon for one day.
Oh, God, here we go.
No, no, it's not a case of here
we
go.
Was it on a low-budget documentary on a satellite channel?
No, we chopped a fucking big branch off a tree and it fell into the next door's garage. That's why it was only a day. Police were called.
Were you legitimate?
What do you call the police? Rozzers? Filth? Pigs? You call them coppers?
Coppers.
What do you tell your children about the coppers?
I haven't told them anything, really.
So what do they think about these blokes? And you haven't explained to them that why?
No, they've never seen them.
There's
no coppers around anymore.
What, do they live under the stairs or something?
Well, there's no coppers around anymore.
Yeah, they are.
My kids, Dominic and Bradley. Before we go any further, shall we mention that we're doing some live shows next week in case anybody wants to come and see us?
Yeah, Colston all sold out in Bristol, isn't it?
Bristol sold out, that's Thursday. Wednesday night we're in Brighton. I've heard the weather's going to be lovely, so come along to that and get indoors out of the lovely weather and see us. And then Friday night we're in Leicester at the YMCA.
Yeah.
Well, so that'll be good.
There's still thousands of tickets available, Andy.
Thousands, tens of thousands of tickets.
But what frustrates me, Andy, is you and I both know it's regards to the podcast, it's the best comedy show out there,
it's
isn't it?
It's better than the podcast.
But there you go.
Because there's a visual element to it that you just can't do on a podcast.
And seeing your fucking gut and your tits, actually in the flesh.
In that tracksuit you made me wear, really tight tracksuit you ordered me to wear.
That gets you through the first 20 minutes, doesn't it?
Well, exactly, just the revulsion and the joy of watching that.
It's like, that's next Thursday and Friday.
Wednesday Brighton, Thursday Bristol, don't try and come with that sold out. Friday night Leicester.
Leicester. I went to Leicester not so long back. It's a really nice town now. I used to live there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so good when I lived there back in the early 80s.
But perhaps they booked their ideas up once you've gone.
Wife's questions, Andy, if you're interested.
All right, go on then, yeah.
Sunderland. Oh, hello, Andy, says the wife.
Hello, the wife.
Sunderland is a dream destination for many foreign tourists and lovers of architecture. Which is your favourite must-see attraction in Sunderland? The KFC on Wessington Way, yeah?
Oh, she's done some research.
Yeah, I've been on Wiki. The Premier Inn with its dark brown cladding, or the Primark at the Bridges Centre with its bright red Tudor-influenced oriel window at the front?
What was the question? The purpose of the question?
Which is your best, your favourite?
My favourite
architectural.
I'd have to say the Primark.
That big red
because
window.
It's enhanced High Street West.
Yeah.
That's the area of High Street West where a decomposing seagull almost fell on my head one day.
What do you mean?
Well, that's a different
story.
It just landed in front of me by about 2 feet.
Yeah.
If I'd been one stride further ahead, I would have had a decomposing seagull.
Well, that's such
It blew out of a tree on a windy day. It obviously died in the tree.
Yeah.
And then a strong gust of wind blew it out right in front of us.
Well, I'm going to say that that's a shit story because I'm going to say it's of similar interest to saying that, you know, that crash Richard Hammond had.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that crash had happened in Kent, mm-hmm. I'd have been really near it.
Right.
So I'm just saying.
It's a bit like the other week when there was that London Bridge terrorist attack. Because yeah. We're quite near London Bridge here, aren't we?
We're very near, yeah.
Oh, that's what I said to my daughter. I says, God, that's near where I do the podcast. And yeah. She says, do you do the podcast on the bridge? I said, no. She said, well then.
Well, fuck you, Dad.
Yeah. You dick.
I tell you, that was quite good fun, the night at the London Bridge, which, of course, I'm not laughing at or anything, but you, if you live down here, you do that. Oh, God, I've been in that restaurant.
Yeah.
I've been in there, whatever. Yeah. Well, I was in hospital just next to the London Bridge for me.
How's your health, by the way?
Oh, you're asking, are you?
Keep it brief.
It's fine, actually.
Right, carry
Blood
on.
Pressure's a bit low, so I just have a pint of water and some crisps
right.
every hour.
All right, carry on with the story.
So with the story, I was in hospital quite near.
Yeah.
And an incredibly famous person came to visit me. So famous, I can't mention. I don't give a fuck about mentioning people. I can't mention this one. And bought me some porn mags. Right? And I don't like that sort of thing. And my wife took them. She visited and she took them away for me.
Right.
And she got rid of them in the bin just at the corner of London Bridge Station.
Right.
So when we were watching the footage, it was, you know, it was a little reminder that life goes on for us.
It was shocking, but it was also...
To say, oh, look, that's the bin where you put the porn mags in.
Where Michael Caine's porn mags got put.
Bigger.
Bigger than Caine.
I promise you.
Lionel Blair?
Oh, fuck off, Andy. No, Lionel Blair wouldn't come to see me. Dance into my room when I've had an heart attack. Wife's question number two. When you're strolling around Sunderland, drinking your blue drink and pushing your pram full of dog food, do you ever stop to think how lucky you are to live in a town where MMA fighter Ross the Real Deal Pearson was born? Do you ever stop and think, wow, I've come from the same town as Ross?
How do you know that I'm not Ross the Real Deal? What was it?
Just one look at you. Do you know what I mean? You're a physical wreck.
I've never heard of Ross the Real
Deal. So is the answer yes or no? These are questions.
Yeah, I'll say yes.
All right.
For the purpose of moving things along.
Third and final question. Is it true that in your fungalow, you are never more than a metre away from a blue drink or a chicken dipper?
That is true, yeah. That's undeniable. That's probably on Google Earth, that was it. Should we search that one?
Your house isn't on Google Earth. There's just a void there.
Is there?
Yeah.
Just a black circle.
Do you want to do something, or do you want me to...
No, I've got some questions for you from Bradley and Dominic, me boys.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Do you mind if... Can you ignore it if, as you ask the questions, I bark out things like an American?
Go on, or whatever makes you happy. Bob, do you think... Do you think we'll all be eating insects one day? What will it take? Endorsement by a major celebrity, i.e. Beyoncé or Michael Bolton?
I know a lot of the world, isn't it? Something like a fifth of the world already dines on the insect.
They do, and they're very, very protein heavy, apparently, the insect.
I'm imagining a time locusts. When we'll grind them down into a powder,
yeah.
Put it in a drink and we'll flog it to the fuckers down the gym.
Yeah.
So...
Fine.
Good answer. Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Bob, have you ever met the Crankies? And if so, do you think they're happy with the path they've chosen for themselves?
I've never met the Crankies.
Interesting.
Do you know what? I don't think I'd want to.
No?
I don't think I'd want to. It's all a bit much for me, that kind of thing.
Do you think they're a bit full on? Do you think they try and involve you in some of the things they're into?
Well, if you want to investigate deep into the Google and the internet and
yeah.
that, I think you'll find out that there are some quite extraordinary stories about the crankies, but I'm not willing to go into.
You wouldn't want to get into that. All right, fair enough. Bob, as a millionaire with a keen interest...
I'm not a millionaire.
Yeah, you are. With a keen interest...
Oh, yeah!
With a keen interest in playing the stock market,
yeah.
Would you be prepared to buy shares in a company if it was run by a twat?
Well, a lot of the smaller companies are run by twats, but when you say twat, you mean someone like you, don't you? Just a fucking ne'er-do-well piece of shit sort of character.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
Well, I believe they all are run by twats, so no, yeah.
So you're not bothered.
I'm absolutely not bothered. Out. I suppose it's like twats treat people like twats and they might squeeze money out of the world. I don't know.
And you buy shares in that. Okay, fine. One more. It's Friday night. It's the end of the week. You've had a hard week doing whatever the fuck it is you do.
Oh, yeah.
Friday night. Would you opt for a Chinese or an Indian?
Friday night. An Indian Monday through to Sunday.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
That's not the takeaway meal. That's the nationality of the servant who brings you your heated slippers and switches on your mobile disco for you.
I am applauding that. Not ironically. That is excellent. Ding dong, landlord here. Ding dong, I'm afraid I'm going to have to remove your lounge carpet. I need it to park my Audi on. Ding dong, landlord here. I've asked your post to be diverted to my casino so me and me mates can laugh at all the shit and debt you're in. What? McLaren.
Go on.
Steve McLaren. You might remember we left Steve heading...
Can I go to the toilet?
No.
No.
We left Steve on a train for Manchester. Feel free to say, oh, yeah, any time during this. We left Steve on a train for Manchester with Casper on another train to Inverness, and I thought it was pretty exciting, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was all right.
I'm going to tell you about that side of the story next week, right? Because I want to tell you about something else that happened on the train, right? I went back to... I went back to the first class carriage to see what Piers Morgan was up to. Yeah?
Right.
Because I was a bit fascinated. Turns out he sat with Alan Brazil, who I didn't see before when I passed through because he was in the shitter, you know, with one of those machines that shag you, right?
Yeah.
So I sit behind him so I can listen in. Piers says, "So Alan." Piers says, "What's his voice like?" "Oh, so Alan." Is he not Barry Allman, is he?
He's.
"So Alan, do you think women are thick?" He said, "I'll just do that."
That's fair enough.
"Yeah, I suppose they are a bit thick, but listen, Piers, they aren't half easy on the eye, so that's okay by me, right?" Piers says, "That's a superb joke. Who's the thickest woman you've ever met, though?" "Jesus, I can't see. I've met so many thick ones. And you meet so many foreign ones these days, don't you? And, well, I can't tell if they're thick or just being difficult." Right? Piers says, "I've got a big, soft, fat arse, Alan. Would you like to mould your hands into it, see if you win a prize?" Tommy Walsh, the labourer, had a go and he found a pasty. "I know, I'm okay, son. Listen, who's your favourite ape? Is it... is it Tarzan's ape Cheetah, Bubbles the chimp, or Caesar from the Planet of the Apes?" Piers says, "I like Caesar best because he's outspoken, right?" Alan. "And Piers, you're incredibly outspoken when it comes to Arsenal. Do you still want Wenger out, or does that not feel outspoken enough now?" Piers says, "Well, I'm thinking of pretending I want Tony Pulis as manager. That's pretty outspoken, I reckon." "Whoa, hold on, Tiger. That is strident beyond belief. It's almost litigious." Piers says, "Well, that's what I'll go for then." He said, "Hey, Giroud had a go on me arse. He found a couple of walnuts and scotch egg." Alan says, "Go on then, I'll have a poke about." So Piers puts a newspaper on the table to catch the seepage and presents his big cloud of an arse to Alan. Alan dives in, Andy, and guess what he finds?
What's he found?
"Bingo," he says, "a nice leg of lamb."
Oh!
Nice, isn't it?
Jackpot.
Piers says, "Yeah, it's pre-basted as well. Tell your wife to slow cook it on gas mark 4 if she can read numbers." And then both laugh and Alan waddles off down the toilet to get back on his machine. So that's good. A nice little diversion, isn't it?
And that's got nothing to do with Steve McLaren at all, has it?
No, but you know,
it was a side story.
He doesn't get off until we get right up to the northwest. So I had to fill that period into because I don't know what the what's happening with Casper, do I?
I'm thinking we should... Is that the end of that bit?
Yeah.
I'm thinking we should do some, like, side podcasts, like, things that aren't like this, but are like this.
Right.
Like, I got a new iron last week.
Rightio.
And I reckon we could do a solid half hour on my new iron, if we had to.
What sort is it?
It's a Braun.
Is it steam or...?
Steam.
Yeah.
It uses up a lot of water quite quickly, so you've got to keep refilling it, but a really good sort of constant stream of steam.
Has it got a separate... reservoir thing.
You've got to pour it in.
Into the actual iron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got to keep going back to the tap.
I was just going to say, are you happy with the capacity of it?
I am. I probably get about 20 minutes solid iron and out of it before I've got to fill it up again. But that's all right. It keeps me on the move. Keeps me trim.
Yeah.
So that was that. So we
does the sweat ever fall off your tits onto the iron?
Well, I do iron topless, yeah. So
yeah.
It does. I mean, who doesn't iron topless?
Well, I imagine you in a cloud of steam, Andy. Yeah, there's going to be some shite coming off you, isn't there?
Powerful, powerful image.
Powerful.
Powerful image.
It's powerful.
So we could do a podcast about my new iron. We could do a podcast where we go to a scrapyard and have a look about.
I'd like to do that, yeah.
Or we could watch some demolition getting done.
I like the scrapyard idea.
Yeah.
And we could interview the scrapyard people. Yeah. I've often wanted to interview the people down the dump, the town dump.
That's a good one
as well. I bet they see some stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, and I like... Sorry, Andy. I just like, you know, pensioners are very devious at town dumps.
Yeah.
So when I park up at mine, I park up and I like watching the pensioners coming out, and you can see them. They're clearly, it's not household rubbish. You know, it's come some kind of fucking uranium they've scraped off the train set or something. And, like, you know, they're really, because they're from that generation, they're really worried about it. And they sneak it in and, like, fucking do a handbrake turn and get out of there.
At your dump, do they ask you what you've got on the way in?
Well, there's not enough staff to ask everyone, so it's a question of timing.
Right, if you can nip in behind someone that's been quizzed.
So you see a young'un with his, like, brass curtain rail or something, and they're on him like fucking flies around whatever, and that takes them away from you.
Right.
Or a lady comes in with an electrical item and they say, oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Separate skip for that.
Completely separate area, love. What a terrible area you've made. You should be ashamed of yourself. And they walk them up to that area because they like to tell them over and over again how they chose the wrong area.
Yeah.
And that can give you a gap to
and
get
And you think
in.
It's because they're a woman as well? Do you think they like to be around the women?
Maybe that's part of it.
Right.
I mean... You can certainly dominate someone at a town dump. They are very much the bosses.
Yeah, what they say goes.
It's amazing how passionate you can get about going to the dumps and I really want to get rid of this.
But then by the time you've picked stuff out of the skip and took it home with you...
You go around the streets, pick stuff out of the skip and then take it to the dump?
No, out of the skip's where you dump the stuff. There's always something near the top that's worth having.
Is there, Andy, really, these days?
A desk.
I think we've become very skip conscious as a nation. Do you know what I mean?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The next one's quite long, actually, Andy. But here we go.
Go on.
You can shout, oh, yeah, at any point you
want.
But it's best to do it when I'm speaking.
Right.
Well, it's time to go back to the island of Sardinia and report on the antics of the footballers there holidaying at the luxury Forte village.
Shall we do the introduction?
Because it's Gangs of the EPL. So I'm up early because I'm old, I'm one of the first on the VIP section of the beach, Andy. Sit down under a brolly, pretend to be reading a book on the subject.
Right.
Yeah.
What subject?
No, I just pretend to be reading a book on the subject.
Any subject?
Yeah. I have a look round. Phil Jones is there on his own under a beach umbrella. The problem is he obviously doesn't know how to work it because he's not sat in the shade of the umbrella. Right. You know, he's just near it.
Idiot.
So I feel sorry for him. So I go over pretending I'm staff and I say, oh, hello, sir. Would you like this brolly put on the special superhero setting, sir? So he goes, yes, please. Then I notice his bottle of sunblock. His mum's written on it, Philip's special sunblock. But he hadn't put any on, Andy. So to encourage him, I say, wow, sir, you've got the special SAS Inferno sunblocker. I didn't know there was any supplies of that left in the world. You should use that. So he likes the sound of that, SAS and that.
Oh, yeah.
So he picks it up, takes off the lid and puts it to his mouth. I said, no, sir, don't drink it. Look, would you like me to do it for you? Oh. Yes, please. So I start applying it. And over to my left, I see a couple of little blokes in cowboy hats opening up the boat, pedalo, you know that area?
Yeah.
And the Spurs gang are with him. And they're hiring a little dinghy with a little motor on it. So I like sidle over and like have a little paddle near them. You know, I'm being nosy, Andy.
Right.
Basically. You know, you're wearing an España 1982 top.
I am, yeah.
That's a Spain. I was at World Cup. And we were the most beautiful beach I've ever been on, which is a place called Algorta near Bilbao. And it was a cove, completely empty beach. There was just us. And so but our little game was, and it was one of my nicest memories from my life, is you had to take turns, right, to put on these very big white underpants that one of us must have had.
Yeah.
And then you had to run right on the shoreline past all the rest of them, as we chanted, Gandhi, 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 Gandhi. Oh, it's such a lovely memory. Anyway, so I'm at that shoreline bit, you know, just listening in. Harry's got his captain's hat on, his Spurs shorts, picnic hamper, and a Frozen the Movie life jacket.
Right.
Debbie's wearing a little blue and white Hawaiian skirt with a bell on the end of each strand, right? His orange carbon fibre flip-flops with built-in LED Fitbit, yeah?
Yeah.
Blue and white waterproof chest belt with Bluetooth display and printer, yeah?
Yeah.
Eric's wearing a shirt and trousers. He's got a carrier bag, right? So it's Harry. He's up to summit. Right, gang, it's time for you to listen to my safety talk before we get in the boat. Oh, so he's doing a talk, Andy.
Good for him.
However strong a swimmer you are, you must remember that the ocean is very unpleasant. Hidden dangers such as strong, unsettling currents, sharp rocks, and upsettingly dangerous creatures such as jellyfish and crabs. Debbie, even the name jellyfish is upsetting and foreboding, makes me feel quite jittery and shuddery, like a dustbin man has just walked over my grave. Harry says, are you listening, Eric? He says, sorry, boss, I was looking at the sand. So is that what you're going to say at the hospital when you're in A&E with a crab bite, that you didn't listen to the safety talk because you were looking at the sand? Honestly, it beggars belief. Debbie says, honestly, Eric, it's boys like you that amount to nothing. It's almost like you is hurting. Do you feel me? Harry carries on. Now, for this reason, you must wear your life jacket at all times, so put them on. Now, Debbie has like a customised life jacket, snakeskin effect, right? Snakeskin. With like sea creature themed buckles and a Strepsil dispenser.
Seahorse buckle.
Yeah, seahorse.
Nice.
That sort of thing. Little sea snake, crab, that kind of stuff.
That must be quite expensive for each button to be a different one.
Oh, yeah.
Footballer, though.
But Eric's forgotten to bring his life jacket. Sorry, but I only packed shirt and trouser. I didn't realise anything. Right, well, go and ask the Spanish man if he has a life jacket. But they look over to the boat eye a bit and the blokes aren't anywhere to be seen. Well, this has put a damper on things and made me feel quite upside down. I'm sorry, Eric, but if I let you come on the dinghy, I would be a hypocrite and that would be very burdensome for me. Debbie, I'm afraid you're going to have to play with Philip Jones. Come on. So they march him over to where Phil is and I wander about near them. Harry says, hello, Philip. Would you like to play with Eric? Philip, yes, please. Eric says, I'm thinking of counting the sand. Do you want to help? Phil, yes, please. So they leave Eric with Phil, and as they walk away, I notice Eric open his carrier bag and pull out some beers. Right? And also in the bag, I see a little glimpse of a life jacket. Oh. And I see that Eric has a massive grin on his face. He offers Phil a beer. Yes, please!
Uh-oh.
So he's up to something, isn't he? He has a life jacket all along.
Is he allowed beer?
Well, it seems that like Debbie and Harry didn't see. Then suddenly, so Debbie and Harry set off in the sea. They get about 50 yards out when their engine packs up. Debbie tries to restart it, but it's clearly out of petrol. And suddenly, out of nowhere, comes one of them banana boats. You know them?
Yeah.
Big yellow fuckers. At massive speed, and the wave it creates throws Debbie out of the dinghy. Now, Debbie's crocodile effect life jacket instantly dissolves. It's just a piece of shit, yeah? Like a dead weight round his shoulders. Debbie, help me, boss. I can't swim when people are watching. Harry opens his picnic box and throws a baguette out to Debbie. Grab onto this long bread. Debbie does, but it just quickly turns to mush. You know that bread
yeah,
does.
Do, yeah.
So Harry then takes off his captain's hat and uses it as a little paddle, right? He's just about got next to Debbie when the banana boat comes past again and its wave throws Harry into the water. He starts splashing about, but his life jacket keeps him afloat, right? Grab onto me, Debbie. My flotation device will be our saviour. Debbie grabs onto him. How upsetting is this, boss? Harry says, very. It's a good job I was sensible enough to use a BSA-approved life jacket and not one from Camden fucking market. Sorry, boss, says Debbie. Well, as they're slowly doggy paddling back to the shore, the banana boat pulls up next to them. It's the two blokes from Bowtire, yeah? They take off the shirts and cowboy hats. Oh, I might have guessed. It's Sandy Cazola and Matthew Ozil from the Peaky Gooners. Santy. Hey, guys, you feel the ferocious heat? Ha, 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 ha. So sorry your dinghy had no petrol. You want to get on banana boat, have a fruity ocean party? What you say, Ozil? Yah, gooners, eat my horse. Santy, you want banana fat party fun trip? Debbie, yeah, that would be nice. No, thank you, says Harry. We would rather swim than get on that Peaky Gooner shit bucket. Santy, suit yourselves. There's always a party on Santa's banana. And off they go, them two. Well, Harry's lost his cap, his picnic, but they're very
his
slowly...
Bread.
Yeah, and his bread. Oh, it's all gone back to the beach. When they get there, they both fall on their backs exhausted with the sun beating down on them. Well, you know what's going to happen, don't you?
I ain't got a clue.
Suddenly, Harry's chin sets on fire. And he starts slapping at it in agony. Moments later, Phil and Eric are next to him, pissing on his head. What are you doing? Oh, shit, that stings worse than damp water. Can you stop, please? Phil says, it's the best cure. No, how does Phil speak?
Charlie Williams.
No, best cure when you have been bitten by a jellyfish. Debbie, he hasn't been bitten by a jellyfish, you half-wits. His chin set on fire in the hot sun. Sorry, boss. Harry, right, that's it. I'm going to the medical centre to get some ointment. This is all very distressing and I feel mega crummy. Come on, Debbie. And off they go.
Right.
So that's nice, isn't it?
It was a lovely story, that.
It's a little bit of a postscript.
Go on,
you're interested.
Go on.
Eric and Phil got pissed off the tits, right, and went into town with Santy. Phil had it off with an old woman. Right, and caught crabs, which is ironic, isn't it, Andy?
Because Harry had
warned them about crabs.
About crabs.
So that's interesting, isn't it?
It is. Good story, that.
Thank you. Did you think it was a little bit like Dead Calm? Have you seen that film?
No, I haven't seen that film. Sorry, Bob.
Oh, right. It is a bit. Well, then
what's that film about?
It's a film, I think it's got Nicole Kidman on it, where she's on a boat and it's marooned in the middle of the ocean.
It doesn't sound very similar.
Oh, well, I think it is. If you've not seen it, that's for me to say. Have you got a favourite sort of tape? I mean, sellotape, packing tape, gaffer tape?
I like masking tape.
Masking tape's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, you can use that for a lot of things. I like duct tape as well.
Duct tape?
I like to wrap that around my leg.
What for?
just for the weird feels.
When you're injecting heroin,
just for the weird feels, and then when you just pull it off,
yeah,
and it pulls all the hairs out.
It's the stickiest of tape I can think of.
Yeah,
literally the stickiest,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're going to vote favorite for duct tape then.
We're between the two of us. Can we come to an agreement on that?
Duct tape is the best. Duct tape, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
okay. Hey, I saw three fellas sitting on a park bench before I came into the studio today.
This isn't a three fellas joke, is it?
Three fellas, right, sitting on a park bench, all three of them wearing glasses.
Yeah.
All three of them eating a bag of crisps.
Right.
Now, I couldn't work out whether that was a real thing or whether it was like an art installation.
Right.
Because this is London, so it could have been either.
Did you say they were wearing the same clothes?
No, they all wore glasses.
Yeah.
Spectacles, I think they call them down here.
Yeah.
And they all were eating a bag of crisps each.
There's 27 million people eat a bag of crisps every day in this country, Andy. Yeah.
Right.
And also 14 million adults who wear spectacles. So,
well, what are the odds then of the three of them being sat together on a bench? Pretty remote, I would have said.
About 16 to 1. Wouldn't you think about 16 to 1?
Fair enough.
Okay. Do you want to predict anyone to go up from the championship, Andy? Because we did quite well last year with Huddersfield.
Well, you did. I didn't get anywhere near. I'd like to predict Sunderland to go up.
You think they might?
I haven't got a clue, but he's trying to get players in on the cheap.
Yeah.
And I think when a manager does that,
yeah,
gets them in on the cheap, it's like he knows something about them. He's got a bit of insider knowledge.
Yeah.
About why they'll be good.
Right.
So it's either that or it's a destroy and exit thing. So it's a toss of a coin, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'll go for Sunderland.
Well, I'll go Bristol City.
Really?
Yeah. All right, so that's that done.
Any reason why? Bristol City?
They got a lot of dosh. Did all right at the beginning of last season, lost the way. I fancy them for top six.
All right, okay.
I mean, a lot of people say Wolves, but, you know, anyways up. Let's crack on.
Yeah.
Hey, Andy, have you ever noticed how squeaky the trays are on the back seats of aeroplanes? Have you noticed that?
Yes.
I keep thinking me brass hand needs oiling. I go through about a pint of Pearson's hand oil before takeoff. I've noticed that. Do you remember skirt leads, Andrew? Usually black, good thick wire. Try putting one of them in with your brass hand.
Yes.
Have you ever noticed how jocular butchers are, Andy? Have you noticed? Have you noticed that? Always got a clever remark ready. Oh, look, here comes the cunt with a brass hand. Very funny. Very funny.
Yes.
Have you ever noticed fruit flies? Have you ever noticed flying around your rotting fruit, yeah? Like Macums around a KFC breast. You swat at them and your brass hand comes off and smashes your Big Bang Theory fruit bowl.
How do you deal with fruit flies, Andy?
Swat them away.
You have no... Have you?
No, I swat them away and they don't come back.
Oh, of course they come back, Andy.
They don't. They're not stupid.
A lot of people put cling film over a cup, don't they, and put vinegar in the bottom.
What?
And they're going through the little hole, but they can't find it. It is quite effective.
What little hole?
You put cling film over a cup, the top. Put, you know, like if you're using a microwave, it's a Mac pierce the lid.
Yeah.
So you pierce the cling film once.
Right.
The fruit flies crawl in.
Do they?
But they don't know the way out.
It's a very elaborate way of catching. What do you do after that then? Just sprinkle them on your dinner?
Laugh at them.
You just laugh at them?
I laugh at
through
them.
Through the cling film?
Yeah, I put my mouth really near it. Ha, ha, ha.
Poor fruit flies. Hey, listen, I've got some business ideas again. Yeah, I'm going to try and pitch to you.
Give it a try.
Get some money out of you because you're a millionaire and all that. Right, it's a festival.
Yeah.
Right, but everyone's on horseback.
Right.
The whole entirety of it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any questions?
No questions, I'm in.
Great.
I'm in right up to the fucking hilt.
I've got a backup one as well while I'm on a roll here. Chicken latte.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like a latte, but it's got chicken in it.
So what you said...
What am I saying?
Milk and chicken.
Well, try and imagine cream of chicken soup.
Yes, I'm imagining
but
that.
But with a couple of shots of espresso in.
So coffee, cream and chicken.
Yeah.
Andy, my head's spinning over the horseback festival, so I'm sorry, I can't even consider it.
We could set up a van and sell it at the horseback festival.
It sounds all right, honestly.
But obviously the van counter would have to be higher than usual, because it's got to be horseback height, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So we'll need to build a new, entirely new van.
Scaffold it and that.
Yeah.
And then it would need to be even higher.
Oh, we could put it up on bricks, couldn't we?
Well, you wouldn't want people seeing into the fucking cups, would you?
No.
you know what I mean?
Not until it's too late.
Until it's too late.
Is that a yes for that as well?
I will back you at the hilt with the Horseback Festival, right. Yeah? And I'll give you a plot for free.
Right.
To flog your chicken, coffee and milk.
Thank you.
Drink. Is it a drink or a soup?
It's a drink.
It's a drink,
we'll put
right.
it down as a drink.
Cold or hot?
And it's a kind of business that's run by a twat, so you could invest in it as well, couldn't you? Are you going to try and finish off that South African one from last week?
I could do, yeah.
I think you should, yeah.
Where is it?
A lot of people have been asking because they want closure.
Okay,
that.
So just to catch up in case people didn't hear, I was staying at this big right hotel that's in the middle of nowhere. It's like a reserve. You get your own little hut. There's a central area there that basically sells fucking ostrich for breakfast, lunch and tea, right? So I pick up my dish of ostrich. I think I'll go back to... I don't want... It's really sweaty here. I'll go out and have it outside my hut or whatever. But when I get to my hut, the heat from the hut is like all empowering. It's like
right.
the entirety
of
democracy in a capsule.
What?
It's, you know what I mean? It's just too fucking much.
Democracy in a capsule.
Now, next to me hut, there's this big tarpaulin, like on poles, under which there's some crates and that. Like a temporary thing, not a building, you know what I mean? But I thought it might be a bit cooler than me hut. Because that was like a fucking oven, to be honest with you. So I get into the shelter and there's a bloke in the corner I hadn't seen. Right, but I'm too embarrassed just to walk straight out. So I sit down on a box. He comes up and he says, "Ah, here we go.
Go for it.
South Africa. Which is your accommodation?"
Oh, God, not right. again. Shit.
Which is your accommodation?
I can't help you. I can't
South
do
Africa.
It.
South Africa.
You can say South Africa in it, but
which is your accommodation?
Just do it like that.
I can't do it like that. Which is your accommodation? Fucking hell. He says, which is your accommodation? I'll have to carry on. So I point to me hut and he says, I'm going to rub. Fuck. I'm going to fucking rub the shit out of it.
You nearly got it there.
Hold on, what do you mean?
I said, oh, yeah.
I said, that's a bit unexpected. Shut your English mouth. I'm a motherfucker. You say anything, I'll ram this sardine tin up your anus.
Gosh.
The head of hotel security arrives, right? He's pointing a rifle at the bloke and he shouts at me, get out of the temporary shelter! He's a fucking gangbanger! So I back out, right, and run into my hut. A few minutes later, the head of security bangs on my door. You're a caser! I said, oh, guy, hey, do you know he was going to ram a sardine tin up my ass? Would he really have done that? You bet he would. He stuffed the previous guest with a tin of corned beef and a bottle of bilberries. Fucking gangbangers, you've got to love him. Then he left. What can I say, Andy?
Well, you salvaged it in the end. Got there.
I won't try to get any laughs out of being
I'll
there.
I'll edit out the bits where you fucked it up at the start. We'll try to pretend it didn't happen.
Hey, I spent $3,000 on a sit-on mini tractor mower. My neighbours call me Farmer Barry, which is absolutely hilarious. It's actually got an onboard mulcher and an adjustable seat height, which is great for me at 5'5". Hey, you know that Russian fella who was poisoned with one of the heavy metals? Just found out that he once ate at the same restaurant I occasionally go to. Lucky escape for me, but an incredible story, don't you think? You know, only 3 days before my wife left me, she told me she loved me.
That's Barry.
That's Barry for you.
Have you got the song to sing, then?
We've got a song, haven't we?
All right.
You play the tune. You start singing first, don't you?
Okay, Andy. A nice little duo, nice little song, like Elkie Brooks and Elton John,
yeah,
that sort of thing.
Just like that, yeah.
Or The Grease, you know, tell me more, tell me more. Right, here we go. You're a terrible cunt. You're a capsule of shit. With your sweaty fat face and your nippleless tits. Sorry, Andy, I'm just telling the truth here, you know.
Yeah.
But when you walk into the room, my
my heart sets on fire. And when you dance your special dance, all my troubles disappear.
You're a nasty old twat, you make me pray for death. With your peanut-sized head and your farmyard breath.
Oh yeah.
If that hurts, I'm sorry, Bob, but it's just how I see it.
Okay.
But when you take me in your car to places near and places far, and when you call your special call, all my troubles disappear.
When I call my special call, all our troubles disappear.
And when I dance my special dance, we have nothing left to fear.
You're a terrible cunt,
you're a nasty old twat.
You're a terrible cunt,
you're a nasty old twat.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.